Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank.
Play hard, play fast, play together, run and hit at the bank.
The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman joined by the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, it's a good week to have the show because there's a game tomorrow night.
Oh, I know. Finally. You know, our guys, I think they're tired of going against one another and get a chance to really showcase, through OTAs, mini camp, training camp, where we're at.
I can tell that they're kind of tired. You know, it gets a little chippy in week two, you know, prior to the first preseason game. And when Tyson Alualu, who has never been that kind of a guy, starts having a little altercation here and there in practice, it's time to face a different color jersey.
Yeah, I think, you know, what was it the other day? We were just in helmets, no shoulder pads, no pants, and we had two altercations. Yeah, I think that's a telltale sign.
Any coaches get into it yet?
No, not that I'll say over the air. No, it's been good. The coaches have been great.
You know, the NFL's known for that a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think back when the Baltimore Ravens won their first Super Bowl, when Mike Smith was there as an assistant coach and Brian Billick was the head coach, they had an altercation that involved a couple high-profile coaches. They kept it quiet pretty good.
Well, I mean, the coaches are intense and they're very competitive. And, nothing so far. So,
you know, a lot of people would think that tensions amongst the coaching staff in training camp, because, I mean, the coaches are just like players. I mean, they get tired of training camp, too. They haven't seen their family. You know, they're working long hours. But most people would assume the tensions would exist on opposite sides of the ball. So, like Todd Walsh, the defensive line coach, would want to get into it with Luke Butkus, you know, the interim offensive line coach. But more times than not, it happens on the same side of the ball because they're spending so much time together. So, you know, Jerry Sullivan may end up, you know, trying to punch Luke Butkus or something like that.
Well, I will say this, that we welcome an environment of being challenged. And that's what we want. We want our coaches to challenge one another, and it creates great discussion. And as long as their egos don't get in the way, I think there's great growth that takes place because of it.
What is the term that you use? Out of chaos comes...
In the midst of chaos.
In the midst of chaos.
In the midst of chaos, you know, to really calm everything down, you know, and that's what the music and the traveling and, you know, to be able to perform at a high level.
So out of the midst of chaos comes growth?
Yeah, it does. It should. And it comes, our players, they look at it and, you know, if they can go into it, you know, we'll have a chance to play at home, away, London, anywhere. And I think that they have to treat it the same and just kind of calm their world down, because when they do, they perform their best.
Mm-hmm.
So we tell them, you know, in the midst of chaos, you've got to perform, and growth will take place because of it.
All right, well, we've got a lot of topics to get to. And just to let everybody know, next week there will not be a Gus Bradley Show because of the preseason game in Chicago. And so in last week, we didn't really open the phone lines up to the fans or callers. And tonight I want to do that. So, folks, if you want to get in, 904-355-6351, or if you're outside the calling area, you can call 1-800-355-NFL1. And to prove to you that we are opening the phone lines, let's go to Isaiah, who is in Wooster, Ohio, and has a question about the secondary. Good evening, Isaiah.
Hey.
Hey, Isaiah. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Okay, I had a question on the cornerback you guys have. You guys got Will Blackman off waivers for a while. He really did a good job last year. What do you think are the secondaries deep enough to where it needs to be, let's say? Because I don't, for me, I've been looking at the secondary. I know there's not all that much experience. So what are your thoughts on how the secondary is shaping?
Yeah, that's great. Great question. I think, you know what? We are more experienced just because guys like Demetrius McCray, Jeremy Harris, they're back with us. They've had some experience, whether in practice or in games. Will Blackman has done a really good job at the nickel spot for us. Mike is a Harris is a year older. Sip's a year older. So even though there's some names that you're going to start to hear more and more about it, I think what we're excited about is that year of experience that they've had in the system. And we should see growth. But, you know, they've been performing pretty well. There's some rule changes taking place in the NFL. And I think that, you know, we've had to adjust our style a little bit to that. But they've taken ownership of it.
What have you done to work with your defensive backs as far as those rules changes? You know, because I saw Mike Pettine in Cleveland go as far as to put sparring gloves on his defensive backs in practice just to emphasize the point that you can't grab.
Right. You know, we haven't gone to that level, but we did bring in NFL officials. We had eight in here for 3 days, and really to watch our style of how we play our defense. And, you know, we told them to be aggressive and throwing the flags just like they would in a game. And there was a lot of questions taking place on the sidelines. So I think our players, our defensive backs, have a pretty good idea what they're going to call and what they're looking for.
Last week at this time, I think Alan Ball just started to practice or was getting ready to practice, and now he's got a few practices under his belt. Very consistent veteran. And from talking to Dwayne Walker, he said he might be the fastest defensive back that you have as far as playing fast. How's he been doing?
He's been doing well. We got him a couple reps, you know, in practice, and he showed up pretty good. We're taking it slow with him. You know, sometimes those ankle injuries for defensive backs, if you try to come back too fast, you know they linger. So we'll be real cautious with him and make sure, check him out. And, you know, if he played, he would get 7, 8, 10 reps. So we just have to weigh it out to see, you know, is it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, right. With a veteran guy.
Right.
You know, it's a lot easier to kind of make that decision, isn't it?
That's right.
Guy that's been there and done that. All right. Yeah. So from the defensive backs, and when you talk about playing time there, what is your plan for rotation tomorrow night for your starters and second teamers? And specifically, everybody wants to know, when will Blake Bortles play?
Right. Well, the general rule of thumb for how we operate is in the first preseason game, we'd like to see the starters, you know, that are at that point right now, play the first quarter. And then you'll see the second group come in. They generally play around the second and the third quarter. And then the thirds jump in the fourth. And then each game after that, it proceeds to go, well, the number ones get the first and the second quarter, the second game. And then the first, second, and third, the third game. So you kind of ease them into it. And then the rest of the guys kind of feed off of that.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular players that you want to see rotate in with the first group or the starters?
Right. Well, you'll see some just by positioning. It's like a guy like...
I mean, defensive line, pretty much that happens anyway because
right.
There's a number of guys that play.
And Coach Wash is going to treat it that way. You'll see Branch and Clemens, they're going to rotate. You know, not that they need it because of the number of reps, but just to try to simulate a game and to say, hey, we're going to rotate you guys, be able to come in and out. And he'll do that with a lot of the defense alignment.
All right. I was going to ask this question, but we'll go to the phone lines, and it's Saqib on the south side, and he's got a question about wide receivers. Maybe he's going to ask the question that I was going to ask. Good evening, Saqib.
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, Gus, it's an honor talking to you, and I don't think I'm asleep tonight at all because I'm so excited.
I might be right with you, man.
I don't think I'm asleep at all. I really don't. But let me ask you this: I know you said before it's not as frustrating about the whole wide receiver situation, but to me, as a fan for a long time, like I've been, I'm frustrated because I want to see these guys, Lee, and all these guys that we got, progress and be good. I mean, to me, it's frustrating. I just want to know, be honest with us. Is it really
sure.
frustrating to you that this keeps happening to us every year, these injuries? And it's just, to me, I'm frustrated.
Right. Well, I do know this, that you're going to have some injuries. And if you look across the league, there's a lot of soft tissue injuries. You see teams missing 2-3 receivers. The good receiver in New York, Beckham, you know, he's
yeah.
out with
Odell
a hamstring
Beckham.
Pull.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
Tom
so,
Coughlin,
yeah.
he doesn't have a lot of patience for that.
Right. So, you know, we know that those things are going to happen. Sure, ideally, you'd like to have everybody practice. And, you know, we'd like to have an Allen Robinson out there. But this is the hand we're dealt right now. And what we really concentrate on is that we have to make decisions. We have to get down to 5 or 6 receivers. So we have to evaluate all this group. And this gives us a chance to do that. So if it was during the season, I'm with you. You know, it would be a little frustrating. But at this point in time, knock on wood, there's nothing, no injuries that's going to extend into the regular season. So we just, you know, we want to try to get everybody everybody healthy, ready to go for that first game. Now we got to massage a way to try to evaluate everybody. So it's a delicate act, but I'm with you. I understand your frustrations, but you know, I think we're in the mindset of trying to evaluate everybody.
What has frustration accomplished for you anyway?
Right, right.
It doesn't do you any good. You know, there's an old saying that they say 90% of your day is how you react to things, not what happens to you.
Right. And I think, you know, that's generally my nature, is to be positive and say, wow, look at, we can get a chance to look at Bumpus. And
I've never noticed.
And we can get a chance to look at Lamar, and, you know, and that's good. But I know the fans are counting on you to be real, too. So, but we do see it as a positive. You know, Cecil Shorts is hurt, but it gives other guys opportunity, and we're seeing growth from them.
All right, let's go to another caller. Let's talk to Wesley on the north side. Let's go back to the conversation about defensive line. Good evening, Wesley.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I really appreciate being on air with you guys.
Sure, Wesley.
I wanted to talk about defensive line. I think that, you know, looking at, you know, Alualu, Red Bryant, having Andre Branch, it's probably going to be, or hopefully it's going to be, a strength for the team this year. And I was wanting to know if you feel the same way, if that's going to be a strength for you guys heading forward into the season, and who you're looking to see maybe have some, you know, perform in the preseason, maybe to be even more help to the defensive line. Best of luck to you, Gus, and thanks so much, Jeff.
Oh, thank
really
you.
Really appreciate everything.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wesley.
Well, it is a challenge. I can say this. We're bigger up front. You know, we're bigger up front. And, you know, to have a healthy Roy Miller, Tyson's probably, you know, we look back at and we cannot find a bad day by Tyson. He's had all good days. And Red, you know, that combination there, the challenge for us is going to be, you know, not only get to 53, but how can we get these guys up?
How do you play them?
Yeah, how do you play them? And that's a good problem to have now, a really good problem. So we're bigger. I think we've got some good pass rushers. Andre Branch is really coming along at the addition of Chris Clemens, and then Chris Smith and Ryan Davis, four good rushers. But how do you get them all up?
When we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show, I want to talk about Ryan Davis and Chris Smith, because both of those guys have something that is so valuable, and it's called positional flexibility, and I want you to kind of explain that to listeners.
Sure.
And we'll get to that right after this. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Jeff Logman joined by the head coach, Gus Bradley. Gus, I talked about Ryan Davis and Chris Smith and the term positional flexibility, and I brought that up because of something that you said, and you talked about how we've got to figure out how to get them all playing or get them up. How valuable is that term positional flexibility? But first, what is it?
Well, it's the ability to play multiple positions. And sometimes, you know, like Chris Smith, for example, and Ryan Davis, there are, you know, there are backup Leo ends. So they play on the open side, you know, along with Andre Branch and Chris Clemens. But then on third down situations, they have the flexibility to get on the field by putting him as an inside rusher. So there's a chance you could get Andre Branch, Ryan Davis, Chris Smith, and Chris Clemens all in the field at the same time. Now, we really like Sendarik as an inside rusher. We like Ziggy as an inside rusher, and they give us some good push, and you need that on the inside. But, I mean, that flexibility to get that kind of speed on the field at once is something that's intriguing to us.
And not every Leo can bump down and play inside, because the guy has to have a certain level of strength to be able to withstand the noise in there, because those guys are pretty big.
Yeah, it gets real noisy in there.
It gets real noisy in there.
You know, you're looking for a little bit more size, you know, in there generally. We know that, you know, it could be situations where it's longer yardage where those four are in there. But, you know, it's, you know, we try to develop our players to have that mentality. The more that you can do, you know, okay, I'm not just a Leo. I'm a Leo. I could be an inside rusher. I have value on special teams. Make it really difficult on us as a coaching staff to decide this, you know, 53 number.
No, and that last thing that you mentioned, positional flexibility, does include the ability to play special teams when you're talking about a big guy.
Right. We're always looking for four core special teams players, guys that can play punt, punt return, kickoff, kickoff return. And if you get a four core guy, that's invaluable.
All right. Well, while we're on the topic of defense and defensive line, let's go to Seth is on the south side. Good evening, Seth.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Seth?
Hey Gus. My question is that obviously we've got guys coming from Seattle like Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, and you know they just won a Super Bowl based off an unbelievable defense. And for the first time in a long time, our defense really seems like it's something to be excited about. We got a lot of great young, hard-hitting players. The defensive line's beefed up. And I was just wondering, you know, what kind of similarities do you see between what we have here and the Legion of Boom, that kind of thing, when it got started?
Right. You know? Well, you know what? You know, it's always hard to compare, you know, but I do know that, you know, my first year in Seattle, we were big, and that's what we're here. You know, we're big up front. And the secondary, we have some length. And but it still comes back to, you know, getting that experience to make plays. We really are. Alan Ball has done a really nice job for us. I mean, here's a guy that was, you know, maybe a second-team corner, but we were really intrigued by his length and what he brought to the table. Similar to, like, not in style of play, but like what happened with Brandon Browner. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe didn't make it on a couple other teams, but liked his length, liked his size, and then he ended up doing really well in the system. And there's some similarities there. But, you know, we still have a ways to go. But I do like our mindset. Our players on defense, as well as our whole team, they really want to be good. And now it's just, you know, getting that experience, gaining some confidence, and building off of it.
Speaking of length, Demetrius McCray, the guy last year as a rookie was pressed into starting action against Seattle, and he fared very well. How has he progressed in year two? Because he certainly has that length you're looking for.
He does. You know, now the length gives you advantage because, you know, one of our major premises is to stay on top. Stay on top of the receiver and eliminate an explosive play because of it. And we thought Demetrius did a really good job of that. What we were challenging Demetrius on this year was the transition, you know, to come out of the break on the deep comeback. Not necessarily make it, but to give himself a chance with his length. That's what we've been really challenging on this year, and we've seen him make really good advances in that. So, again, he's developing. He's getting more accustomed to what we're asking of him.
I'm looking at the depth chart, and you know, speaking of big corners, I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver depth chart. Vincent Jackson, 6'5", 230. Lewis Murphy, 6'2", 200. Mike Evans, their first-round pick from Texas A&M, 6'5", 231. That's a pretty stiff test for as far as matching up against their size for tomorrow night.
Right. You know, that's good. We need that challenge, and we welcome that challenge. It's going to be really good for our defensive backs. We're fortunate, you know, and then Chicago, two other, you know, big receiver types. So that's what the league is starting to evolve to. You're seeing more of those type of body types. And so we've got to go against those guys. And what better time than in preseason?
When will it ever end? You know, I mean, it seems like every decade, you know, the offensive linemen, you know, went from 280-pound average to now it seems like they average 320, 325.
Right.
And the wide receivers now, I mean, looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, even you guys have the newly signed guy that you just acquired, Barden.
Yeah.
He's what, 6'4", 220 pounds?
You'd probably play wide receiver now.
Back in my rookie year, I would have been a wide receiver at all of 6'6", 240 pounds.
Yeah, there you go. No, it is. It's a cool challenge now. Our guys are really excited about it. And really, to challenge their techniques, trust their preparation, you know, all the reps they've gotten from OTAs and minicamp, train camp, to go put that to use and be challenged like that, it's a great, great opportunity.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, want to talk a little NFL rules changes because we got a good call coming up from Barry at the Beaches to talk about what is a good NFL block. That'll lead us to that discussion about this new rules change when it comes to blocking. You're listening to Jeff Loggeman and Gus Bradley right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Jags fans, come protect the bank on September 21st as your Jaguars take on the Colts at 1 p.m. You've got to be there for this amazing season home opener and the best game day experience in the NFL, of course, with the new largest video boards in the world. Tickets are going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. All right, I had mentioned that we would go to a caller, and we'll do that right now. It's Barry at the beach. He's got a question about what is a good NFL block. Good evening, Barry.
Good evening, fellas.
Barry, how you doing?
Just fine. Going home after a long day's work. Got a question about the art of blocking.
Yep, we lost him.
Well, you know what?
What is a good NFL block?
You know, a good NFL block, and I don't know if this was going to answer Barry's question or not, but there are some rule changes. As you know, playing defensive line, there was the backside cut. And, you know, there's some injuries that have taken place. A D-line coach would say, well, if you move your feet, you should be okay. But the way they've gotten it now, it is, you know, for the safety of the players. So they're trying to take that out. And what they looked at was it wasn't necessarily the backside cut. It was the roll that took place after the cut that was creating some of the injuries. So as a team, you can still backside cut, but if you see a roll on the field by the offensive lineman, that's where the flag is going to – that's where it's going to come. So,
yeah, we had the officials meeting before the scrimmage this past weekend, and I took notes, and this was the second point that they made, and they said the side of the leg of a defender by a blocker – so, in other words, an offensive lineman or tight end goes to the side of the leg or the back of the leg – that will be a foul, particularly if that cut block includes the key word roll up.
That's what they're looking for, the roll. That's how it was explained to all of us, is that if they see the roll, they're going to call it. So I think you saw it the other day out at our practice. Luke Buckus had a mat out there. They were working on their cuts, you know, laying on their front and not rolling, you know. So it's some changes that are taking place with that.
I've been, I've been going all the way back to the early days of my career. I remember the Chicago Bears under Mike Ditka. They had one of the cheapest group of offensive linemen to where they would do that when you literally turned to run to go down the field to chase the ball. They dive at the back of your legs and then roll on you from behind, and that was considered legal. I mean, if you're trying to make the game safer, you have to protect everybody. And you're a defensive coach. You got to agree with that.
Right. Well, and it is. It's so important. I mean, you want to have guys stay on the field, and safety – I mean, in all areas, is a big concern. I think we're cleaning up the game in that matter, and it's good. It's you know, you get the zone offensive line coaches. You know, that's where they show up, but they still allow you to do it. It's just you got to take the role out of the game.
The part of that also, that meeting with the officials, the number one point that they brought up, because it the video presentation had Troy Vincent, who works for the league office now, former player, and the first point that comes out of his mouth. He said, zero tolerance on unsportsmanlike. And verbal abuse was a key term that he used there. And your players saw the same video. The officials talked to your players. How do you reemphasize that?
Well, you know what? It's a very competitive game, and you're out there competing. And it is an emotional game. And, you know, but players, you know, we have to understand the situation we're in and the environment we're in. And, you know, when it's handed down from the league, and the owners, let's take this part out of the game. We hold that in high regard, and we respect that. So our players have really done a good job about it. I mean, it even goes to the type of music you might be listening to in the locker room, and just be respectful to your teammates, and then on the field, the teammates and the fans. So, you know, our players have done a good job. I don't think it'll be that big of an issue.
So you actually screen the music that's played in the locker room?
Nowadays,
you really got to do that, which is what's happened in Miami last year.
That's right. I spent a lot of time walking through the locker room, and you know what? It's always been my personality to do that, so it's nothing new for our players. But and they've been great about it, and they understand. You know, we talk about have a genuine appreciation for your teammates, and that's just part of it. So it wasn't a hard thing to enact.
The one thing that people will notice tomorrow that is very different, the extra point will be moved to the 15-yard line if you choose to kick the extra point.
Correct.
If not, it remains at where it used to be on the two. What do you think about that potential rule change? I mean, it's only experimental for this preseason, then they'll talk about it at the end of the season for next year. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, the extra point is, what, 98% or 99%. There's a couple misses last year. So they're trying to create more excitement into the game. And Josh and I were talking about it. And, you know, it's for two games here. They're taking a look at it. And, you know, that's not a gimme now. You know, now where they moved it back for the two preseason games. So, you know, and I told Josh, I said, hey, look, it could have been the other way where they're taking it completely out. And, you know, you score a touchdown at 7 points. And, boy, I mean, there's always that chance. You know, I know that, you know, we go after blocks even on extra points. So it can happen. You get your hands on the ball, and it's a game. It's still when that game is, you know, you're tied up with 3 seconds left to go in the game and you have to make that extra point. You know, it's challenging, and we've all seen kickers miss those.
If you had that applied to the regular season, would it make you go for two, possibly more?
Well, I think they're trying to make it to where teams will take on that challenge, you know, to create even more excitement to the game. But, you know, I think it, you know, we'll see how it plays out these first two preseason games. You know, we've generally last year, we've been had a tendency to be more aggressive, you know, on fourth and ones and things like that. So depending on the situation, it had to be well thought out.
All right. So I think the last show that we did, I didn't get to the quarterback until the second half an hour, and I've done it again. I mean, you should be proud of me. I'm keeping the attention away from the young quarterback.
We love talking about those guys.
All right. We come back. We're actually going to take a caller, and that'll be Andrew at the Beaches. He's got a question about Blake Bortles. Folks, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show with me, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Gus Bradley right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. Back on the Gus Bradley Show, as promised, we'll go to Andrew at the Beaches. Got a question about Blake Bortles. Good evening, Andrew.
Well, hey, how are you doing today? It's an honor to talk to you guys. It's really more of a statement. My family met you, and then I met you. Man, you're a fire plug, man. That's awesome. Well, I wrote a letter about Blake Bortles, and Dave Caldwell responded before the draft. I was one of the happiest guys at the draft party. I know where I was at. But my question is, I think that Blake is a much more mature gentleman, and it may be because, you know, Manziel has to go to Las Vegas to have fun. He lives in Cleveland now. And, you know, you got Sunrise Surf Shop. He was in there. He got a stand-up paddleboard. You see him when he has time working on his core, stand-up paddleboard at the beach and stuff. Just an awesome guy, and I'm so excited about the season. I've been a season ticket holder since day one. I'm glad to live in Jacksonville, and I'm glad you're bringing us back, Gus. Woo!
It sounds like he's our plug.
Yeah. I need to tap into some of that. But, no, you know what? It is. You know, we're very fortunate. First of all, let's talk about Chad Henne. Really worked hard on his core, arm strength, leg strength, worked out, mind is great, coming in, competing his tail off to be the best that he can be, showing up in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, being efficient, excited about him. So that's first and foremost. I can't speak enough about that. Excited to see what he does. You know, not in the preseason. I'm talking about as he continues on this. Now, Blake Bortles, getting to him. Really is competitive. He is dead on the money. This guy is competitive. He's football is extremely important to him. Big, strong, you know, everything that we hope for in drafting him. What I challenged Blake in just conversation is that consistency. But he's made really good strides through OTAs and minicamp and training camp. Still has a ways to go, but learning a tremendous amount from Chad, learning a tremendous amount from the other two quarterbacks, Ricky and Steven, and is developing. And, you know, some of those things that we see we need to work on, he's picking up on. He's open to changing those things. And we're seeing progress. So, you know, we're excited about him as well.
You know, as much progress as you may be seeing, there are some things that he does that you just can't coach.
Right.
In the scrimmage, for example, you know, during the scrimmage, I watched the scrimmage, and, you know, they had the bobbled shotgun snap that kind of went over his head, and you just kind of, your first impression is, rookie quarterback. And then you go back and you watch the film, and you realize how special that he was on that play. And I'm not saying he's going to be special, he should start right now, but that ball hits him in the hands, it goes over his head, he turns around, catches it with one hand, gets his eyes down the field. Andre Branch is coming up the gut. He gives him a little juke move, avoids him, squares his feet, ready to throw. Here comes another guy, and he shuffles back inside and throws a strike to the receiver.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to give all the credit in the world to Frank Selfo, your quarterback's coach. Yeah. But
okay,
I mean,
okay, so let's do it.
but guys, the reality is, things like that you can't coach.
Well, and that's what intrigued us about him in the draft. You know, the ability to move out of the pocket and throw on the run. I mean, does a good job with that, and kind of a gamer, that type mentality. And, you know, the drop back passes, throwing to his left, throwing to his right, those are things that we're looking at and trying to clean up. But what I love about Blake is that's what he's into now. He's attacking one little piece of his game, his footwork, really attacks it, tries to get it better, and it's so cool. So, like I said, we're excited about his progress, and, you know, I bet Stephen Morris is doing good. You know, mm-hmm. Ricky is doing good. You've seen improvement there. So that's what's intriguing about him. And, you know, but I'm really excited for Chad as well.
Yeah, I think Chad is taking a big step up. You never would have saw Chad Henne last year on this football team stop a practice and be giving it to his teammates and then want the drill started over, which happened this week.
How cool was that?
That was
cool. It takes risks now. I mean, it takes courage. Get up, call your whole team up together and challenge them. But the cool thing was he challenged himself first. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm right with you. I got to start making even more plays. Receivers, you got to make plays. And when you see that type of ownership or someone take charge, that really is a good sign. So, you know, excited about Chad.
When you get up in front of a group, and you preach this a lot, humility. You have to have humility. And when you challenge yourself or call yourself out in front of the team before you say, hey, guys, we need to do something better, it makes the message get received so much better.
Right. You know what? And I think that humility doesn't make you weak, doesn't make it look like you have a lack of confidence. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. When you have that humility, it brings strength to the team. And, you know, that it was a cool moment. It was a cool moment. And, you know, that's the type of growth we're seeing in Chad, where I think he's got that comfort level to where, you know, the team is really rallying around him.
All right, we come back. I want to talk a little bit about running backs. Toby Gerhart, get an update on him.
Okay.
Find out what the rotation might be for tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back. Jeff Logman joined by the head coach. And let's go to Jim on the south side. He's got a question about running backs. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Coach. Good evening, Big Sexy Jeff. That's what my coworker calls you at work and all. So I figured I'd just throw that in there. I had a question about your running back situation. How are we going to contend with Chip Kelly? As far as the AKA Great White Rhino, Mr. California, you think Todman's a suitable replacement? Because I thought we should have kept him instead of old Mojo last year. But what's your thoughts on that, sir?
Okay, so you're talking about our running backs. You know, right now, Toby Gerhart is a guy that's had a good camp, although he's had a little bit of a strain in his, I believe, hip flexor. So he's not going to play tomorrow night. But Todman has done a really nice job. You're going to see a little bit more zone schemes, and I think really that played to his strength. And then after that, Storm Johnson and Denard Robinson, you're going to see them, both those guys, quite a bit. So, you know, different styles with all those running backs. You know, Storm Johnson's, what, 223, 224?
Yeah.
He's got really good vision. Denard, obviously, with his speed. So I think we're looking forward to where it's, you know, live contact like we're going to see tomorrow night. Denard has a chance to really showcase himself.
How will that rotation work? I mean, Todman's going to start, as you said. And Storm Johnson, will he
You'll
be
probably
next?
See Storm go in next.
Okay.
Yeah, but both him and Denard are going to get, you know, quite a few reps.
Now that, you know, year two for Denard Robinson, he seems to have certainly progressed at catching the football. What kind of a role do you see him?
Well, you know, that's a great question. He's made really good progress, just his ability to catch the ball. And now he's playing, you know, the new position, playing at the running back, and he's getting more reps in practice. He's got really good speed the outside. I think we're just waiting to see what he can do in preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, he just needs an opportunity. I know that's what he wants badly. And he's also kind of a gamer, I believe. I think that when he gets in there and gets a chance to carry it, you'll see him gain confidence the more carries he gets, and we'll see what takes place.
You got to learn to trust him, don't you?
Well, I tell you what, he's made really good strides in that.
Yeah, but Gus, the games matter, right?
It does.
I mean, the trust has to happen in a game setting.
It does. We even looked at, you know, now with his hand in good shape and the ability to catch, you know, is that someone that we need to look at as far as back there as a kickoff returner? Right now he's, you know, closer in the back end and he's on kickoff. But how about as a returner? These are things that we are talking about to try to utilize his speed.
When all the injuries that happened at wide receiver, and then he had the designation last year as an offensive weapon, which means that he can be anywhere, was there any discussion, because he's catching the ball better now, to maybe move him to wide receiver to get repetitions at wide receiver?
Well, he has a little bit of flexibility that way. I think we're pretty protective over it. We'd really like to have him compete at the running back spot. But we did it today, you know, some of our show team looks. You know, we put him out, and, I mean, he went out as a running back, motion out to empty and ran some routes. So, you know, he's got some flexibility, but I think we just really need to see him in a game atmosphere.
What do you think that Storm Johnson's strongest attribute is?
Really good vision. Really good vision. He's got a really good feel. It becomes real natural to him, real athletic. And he's, you know, 223 pounds. So, you know, I think for him, I think he's going to be a tough runner, very good vision, can make people miss. So very intriguing.
The knock on him coming out of UCF was that he would fumble the ball. Have you seen any sign of that? And is this another trait that you've got to learn
right,
to trust in a guy in a game?
Well, as you know, it's all about the ball for us. And we preach it, take pictures every day of guys. And he's really bought into it. Now, you know, in a game, well, is it part of his conscience? Will he think about it? He's done a nice job in practice. But, again, just like you said, okay, the lights are on. Yeah. Are you going to get away from it? But he's really done a nice job in practice, really looking for it. I mean, we have 38, 40 rip attempts a day going after the ball, and I don't think our running backs have fumbled all camp.
All right, well, when we come back, I want to talk about a new distraction for your football team this year that wasn't there last year. Okay, and we'll do that here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, so this distraction that I had mentioned that didn't exist last year for your football team, I don't know if I'd call it a distraction. Some coaches would definitely call it a distraction, these giant video boards that are on each end of the end zone. They're simply amazing. Did you notice your team kind of looking up and paying attention to that during the scrimmage that beforehand, obviously, they didn't look up like that?
Right. It, you know, maybe just a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's awesome. And to us, it's, you know, Shad is, it's very important to him. He wants to create a home field atmosphere unlike anywhere. And, I mean, what a beautiful thing to come into that situation and to get the crowd going and to get the support of our crowd, especially third down situations or 2 minute or whatever the case. I mean, what a great asset for us, and we're really excited about it.
But do you ever see that as being a distraction, or does it just take time to get accustomed to it?
I think it takes time. I think, you know, sure, in the scrimmage, I'm sure some guys looked up at them, and we'd rather have them get it out of their system, you know, a couple of home preseason games, and they'll get used to it. But, you know, I think once it gets to the game time, their focus will be on the game. But it is awesome.
I remember the first time I went to Cowboys Stadium. I mean, you're just sitting there, and you're looking up, and you're like, oh, my.
I know. As a coach, you're looking and say, come on, I'm talking to you, you know. You know, but sometimes they can't help it, especially replays, you know, to look up there and get the replay.
Right. You mentioned about Shad Khan and him wanting to provide the best experience for fans. I've noticed that you have an upgraded sound system at practice.
Gift
of Shad Khan there, maybe?
Yeah, he's been great. You know, and that was one of the things. It was difficult in, you know, with rainy situations and stuff like that. So, yeah, he was very generous to do that for us. And I think when he's out at practice, he sees the elevated play of our players, and I think that chaos, and he understands all the importance of that. So it's been great.
So who's in charge of music for practice?
Well, I think there's an argument. Mike Perkins, Tyler Wolf, I think they all want their hand in it. But Tyler Wolf is the guy that really takes charge of it.
I got to worry. He'd actually asked me, I think it was a couple of days ago, and he said, hey, you got any suggestions? Because, he's kind of been playing the same stuff over and over again. I mean, you guys are playing the music for 2.5-3 hours every day.
Have we played any of your suggestions?
No. I obviously don't have a lot of pull with Tyler.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Your offensive line. When we come back, I want to talk about that because, a lot of people are saying, well, the offensive line, it's got to have consistency. But your offensive line has challenges above and beyond that, which people sometimes probably forgot. And I'm talking about injuries, and we'll talk about that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio. All right, time to get to the big guys, the offensive line. Jeff Loggeman here with Gus Bradley, by the way. The offensive line, your starters are set. And a lot of people forget that three of these starters are coming back from injury. Luke Jokel had the leg injury, Brewster had a leg injury, and Austin Pasdor had off-season shoulder surgery. Boy, how short memories are for some people.
They really are. And sometimes when guys get hurt, you look at training camp and you look at taking a day off for them just to kind of recover and see. We've done that with Roy Miller a little bit. But to those guys' credits, Luke, he hasn't had a day off. Mike Brewster, no day off. And coming back from some serious injuries, they've done really, really well. Austin Pastor, we've given him a day off just to kind of manage it, get the rest down a little bit. But, all those guys have really done a nice job handling it.
And with that first offensive line group, when Chad Henne is done, will they be done?
Well, you're going to see, Jock McLennan, he'll play with the ones and with the twos. And you'll see some of those guys mixed in. But for the most part, the ones, when they're done, they're done.
Okay, now a little bit of a competition for the last week or so at center position because Jock McLendon was getting reps, and all of a sudden Brandon Leonard gets a foot injury, misses a couple days of practice, and then he goes back to right guard. Will you get Jock McLendon some snaps at center? Talking about working with ones and twos?
Right, yeah, he'll get a chance to do that. We'll look at him. And I think, he's done a nice job. Really, I think even in practice we got Linder some reps at center, mm-hmm. Just to see. So we're looking for the best combination. Mike Brewster, though, in the scrimmage,
did a
nice job. He really did. I think the tempo and, once we got in the flow of things, he really showed us something there. So
how important is that?
It very important. I mean, the center spot, to have a guy that's had some experience. I mean, he started for 4 years at Ohio State.
We have a guy that's taken a lot of snaps at center, not necessarily in the National Football League, but at the collegiate level. But how important is it that, running an up-tempo offense to have a guy that's had a lot of snaps there?
Right. I think it's good. And, it's hard, right? You get the big nose guards that are lined up against you. If they can just tee off on you. But with tempo, you can kind of, get them on their back or their heels a little bit. I think all those play to the advantage of the offensive line.
Speaking of that, your defensive front looked like a little winded in the scrimmage because, even though you guys practiced the two-minute drill, they weren't used to that tempo even.
Right. At this early stage, in training camp, that's good. And I'm sure we'll see some tomorrow. And it'll be good for those guys. You have to have strain in order to play with strain. So, hopefully they get some shots of that tomorrow.
All right, Buccaneers coming in tomorrow night. Lovie Smith, the new head coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that you worked for how many years were you in Tampa?
3 years.
3 years. Do you know Lovie Smith at all? Conversations with him?
I have had great conversations. He's a great man. Hold him in high regard. I mean, he's been very helpful to me when I was in college. We had conversations. So, one of Bob Babich's good friends. So
they worked together, right?
They worked
together. Your defensive coordinator?
9 years, 10 years, something like that. So, yeah, he's really a good man. I was happy to see him be in Tampa.
The one thing that is not unknown about a Lovie Smith football team is the style that he plays defense. All you have to do is remember the Brian Urlacher days in Chicago. They're not fancy. They line up and they play football.
Yeah, and they're fast. Their defense now is very talented. Just seeing some clips off them last year. I thought they played with good speed. And I think, you know, some of the positions you need to run Lovey's defense, a really good three technique, a good corner, a good will linebacker. Well, they have those guys in place. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
And a little unknown on the offensive side of the ball. We talked about at different times about rules football. Your offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers, Jeff Tedford, not a lot of familiarity with him?
No, not really. You know, and you know, you can go back and look at tape. I'm sure if we opened up with them, you'd go back to college days and things like that or watch the preseason. But, again, rules football, we go out there and play hard and fast and together.
You know, a couple offensive weapons for folks to keep an eye out on. Doug Martin, not sure if he's going to play. He is the, what do they call him, muscle hamster, I think is what they call him. And then their first-round pick, Mike Evans, the first-round pick from Texas A&M, who was Johnny Manziel's target. Big wide receiver, watched a lot of college film on him, and I know you guys held him in high regard.
Yeah, we did. I mean, very talented. You know, even at the quarterback spot, you know, with, you know, their quarterback situation, Mike Glennon, he's coming in. He'll play probably the second, third quarter, a guy that started many games for him last year. So, yeah, they're a talented football team. It'll be interesting.
All right, folks, tomorrow, 4:30, the local coverage begins, and then the network begins at 6:30, and then kickoff is right about 7:30. It might be 7:35. And remember, next week, we will not be here for the Gus Bradley Show because we will be traveling to Chicago. So, Gus, thank you very much, and we'll talk to everybody, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, thank you, Gus, and okay. Talk to everybody in 2 weeks.